Force Company, Saturday mornings, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, hour number two. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you this morning. No Nick Keyser. Again, he's on his bachelor party this weekend. So excited for Nick, getting married later this summer. So excited for him. But he'll be back next week. Right now, just three of the four Force Company here on this Saturday morning. We're going to talk a lot of different things in this second hour. We're going to get to some Nashville SC as they play Charlotte later today out in North Carolina. Also going to talk a little bit more Titans in the offensive line. But let's start with the Predators. We're now just over a week removed from the end of their season. Fell in six games to the Vancouver Canucks. And the Canucks almost took the first two against Edmonton this weekend. Fell in overtime last night, 4-3. But a week removed, now we can kind of pull away from the excitement of that playoff series and maybe the disappointment in some of those games. How do we feel about the direction of this team? It feels like this team's at a crossroads where you have these older veteran players, you have some of these younger players, but is it enough to get you to where you want to go coming up in the next few seasons?
I believe no. I'm going to say no to this.
Yeah,
I really do think that if the Preds were to... It's going to just sound like fantasy land right here. Just bear with me. You trade like three or four of your solid prospects for a really good prospect. That's what the Preds are missing. Like one or two really good changing players on a line that could really put them over the top. I mean, the big topic is UC Soros. Are they going to sign him or is he going to be a sign and trade or whatever it may. Let him walk after one season. Like, yeah, you can think about that in the back burner right now. But like if I'm the Nashville Predators, I mean, Milwaukee, it's a phenomenal AHL team. You got a lot of really good prospects. Some of them are not top quality, you know, to be like generational talent that can change the Preds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not. There's no Connor Bedard sitting down in Milwaukee.
Correct.
But there's a lot of talented players down there. They just survived for the second straight game last night in their playoff series. 2-2 now in a best of five.
Winner take all tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be sweet. They made the run last year, fell, I believe, in the conference finals. I'm not exactly sure how the AHL works. I'm not huge on minor league hockey. I think my most experience is like playing be a pro in Chell, and like you have to play a few games down there with like the Hershey Bears or whoever it is.
The Knoxville Ice Bears.
Exactly. Or the Milwaukee Admirals. But looking at this team, I think you're right, Nick. I think that it feels like there's two ways they can go with this. They can embrace these veterans they have with Forsberg and Yossi and O'Reilly and that group and UC Soros and say, hey, let's trade some of these young guys, go get some top-end talent and make a run for it and go. Or you can trade the goalie and get a couple of more high-end prospects that can eventually lead you to be younger. Because as Keyser was saying last week, like, you might think this is a young team just by, oh, they made the playoffs this year. They're ascending. This is a young team that's going to keep growing. But they're not really a young team.
No.
They're young players, but this isn't a young team. So I think it is an interesting offseason for Barry Trotz to see which direction he's going to go. If you keep UC Soros and try and make a push for it with this core, it feels like that has to be it kind of has to work. You got to make a deep run in the next 2 years.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That window of opportunity to win a Stanley Cup is very, very slim.
Yes.
And the thing is, when Barry Trotz came to Nashville, he wanted to bring in core pillar guys like a Ryan O'Reilly, a Luke Shin, like and Ryan McDonough, like all those veteran-esque
serial winners.
Correct. Now, when you get to that point, you're thinking, well, we actually did pretty good with these serial winners. Do we want to bring in some more veterans? And then you're thinking, oh, well, we're not really getting younger, but we could maybe open up a bigger opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. What's the balance here? You get what I'm getting
at? Yes, like, and I think Barry Trotz would never say this because he wants his team to win, but I think Barry Trotz's ideal scenario outside of winning a Stanley Cup this year was for the team to not be very good. And he said, he kind of hinted at that in the offseason. Like, sometimes you have to lose a lot of games in order to win a lot of games. And he's talked about finding the elite centerman who can help them get to a Stanley Cup final. And it feels like this season, being as good as they were and making that run and getting to the playoffs, kind of has put him in this predicament where he would have loved to be out of it at the trade deadline, trade UC Soros for a haul, and end up picking in the top 5 this year. I think that was where Barry Trotz wanted to go, and then you can start building it back up. But now he's in this scenario where you're kind of stuck in the middle. Do you go for it, or do you kind of not tear it down, but kind of start to tear down some of the old to bring it back up new?
Take off that old wallpaper you put up 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Put up some new one.
I'll play devil's advocate here.
Oh, boy.
You talk about, you know, trading your youth and getting this big guy. How much of that do you actually want to give up? For instance, you got Zachary LaRue down there. He's a highly coveted prospect. Obviously, you got Yaroslav Askarov. He's probably the key to everything in this franchise. And although he had a down year, you got Joakim Kimmel down there, who is pretty valued as well. So how much of that do you want to get rid of if you're going to make a run at this?
I think that's the question for Barry Trotz.
That's a Barry Trotz question.
Is do you think that you have enough talent down there to go for it with only that? Like, I think the goalie situation is going to give us a very telling response from Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
Because if you stick with Saros, there's not really a ton of ways for the Preds to acquire top-level talent without trading the goalie, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm still in the camp of, I mean, you know, Willie wants to keep Saros. C-Mace is all about keeping Saros. They're saying Askarov. Well, C-Mace saying Askarov didn't have a really good save percentage or whatever it was. And then, you know, Askarov as well didn't start, I think, not last night, but the night before. And you're just thinking, well, is Askarov ready, not ready? And then you get to the point of like, yeah, I think UC Saros is the right move to keep. So with that being said, you're thinking maybe getting rid of like 4 or 5 solid prospects and maybe some – I mean, the Preds have draft capital.
Yeah.
Get rid of some of that draft capital and maybe backlog it to a 2026 picks and then maybe get some players out of that draft or go and find a generational – not generational talent, but like, you know, go find a difference-making talent off another team. That's maybe a second line or first line guy. I know that sounds fancy land the way I'm saying it. I'm saying it nonchalant. But, I mean, that's the route to go. I mean, is that logical to say or no?
Yeah, yeah. And for me, it just goes back to, like, the clock is ticking on Askarov at some point. Like, it's like Jordan Love with Green Bay. Like, at quarterback, you can only play one. And at goalie, yes, you'll have a backup sub in here and there. But you really, if you have two goalies, one of them is not going to be getting the experience they need. So Askarov, I think at some point, has to either come up or you have to trade him.
Yeah.
It's like Jared said, I think it was yesterday. He said, you don't draft a goalie in 2020 to play him in 2028.
Yes.
The clock is absolutely ticking.
Yeah.
And I say this as seeing like other prospects from Milwaukee come down here. Like, look at Luke Evangelista.
Yeah.
Balling. Look at Spencer Stastny. Solid defenseman. Look at other guys like that. I'm not saying that Yaroslav Askarov is absolutely ready to come in. I'm not saying we should get rid of Saros. I honestly don't know where I stand on this because it's such a hard – I do not envy Barry Trotz on this either.
But I think you're right, or Jared's right in saying that. You draft Askarov in 2020. If you do sign UC Saros to an extension, he is your goalie. So I think you would have to trade Askarov at that point. And maybe that's your way to get some more talent, is you can trade Askarov, maybe package a few other prospects to go get a top six forward.
Right. I don't know. Everybody keeps talking about this 8x8 deal, and that's what, you know, that's probably going to be the idea of what they'd sign him for. I wish there was a way where you could sign him to maybe a 5-year deal, and you still have that one extra year from this season, and it's basically a 6. So then you're thinking, man, if we can do that and possibly if things don't work out that well, maybe if there's a team at the next deadline that needs a goalie, kind of like this past season, then you trade him off there as like a sign and trade. But then you have to wonder how much is Nashville going to retain out of that contract because the other team just signed him. You know what I mean?
The thing is, the market for UC Saros was the best it's going to be last trade.
I agree.
Home. And then, of course, we know what happens. Nashville goes on this 18-point streak. They clinch a playoff spot, and you hold on to him. They didn't sell too much at the deadline because of this.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, Barry Trotz is never going to complain about winning hockey games, but it really did feel like that 18-game point streak kind of threw a little bit of a wrench in the long-term plans that he had for the Predators. I do want to mention on Yaroslav Askarov, this might have happened 2 weeks ago, and I forgot to mention it on our show last week. Did you guys see him get the interference penalty down in Milwaukee? If if you haven't seen this, make sure you go find it on social media. Some defenseman pulls his stick out of his hands while he's in goal. Just came by and just swiped at his stick. It goes flying into the boards. And Askarov, when he circles back around, just levels him. Just hits him and throws him into the end boards. It was so funny. Which is like, I think Yaroslav Askarov has some maturing to do, as we've seen with some of his antics in the past. But man, if he doesn't have star potential to come up and just be this eccentric goalie who's bench pressing the crossbar and hitting defensemen who pull his stick out of his hands. Are you seeing
it
right now?
I'm watching it right now.
Well, he's how old? What, 23, 24?
Yeah.
Around that? He's young. He's got time to mature.
That's great.
It was awesome.
That's hockey gold right there.
Yeah. It's like the dude pulled his stick out of his hands, and Askarov said, I am not taking that. So he got called for interference on that.
He said, welcome to the rodeo, Texas. That's exactly what happened. Wow.
It was awesome.
Held down B.
Let me just put this out there, if you don't mind. Like, you look at the Preds situation. I'm going to put this out there for Preds fans. Obviously, the Preds made the playoffs this season. You're thinking, man, that was awesome. It's time to either step it up another level.
Yeah.
Like, what if this happens? Say if the Preds were to move on from Soros after one season or somehow trade him in some regard, then you put up Askarov. And it's basically, are you okay with being bad, like, after coming off a playoff season when you have veteran-esque, like, pillar players in your roster? Are you okay with that? Genuinely, would you be okay with that, Connor, if the Preds ended up being bad the following season after the second season of Barry Trotz and Brunette?
I'll put this in basketball terms, specifically the NBA. Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. They sold off their entire team. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Steven Adams, all gone. They invested all of that into draft picks. Look at it. Look at them now.
Yeah.
Plus you have a superstar in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You got, you know, Josh Giddey is great. Chet Holmgren. I mean, and they have draft capital. That's the thing. So I think if the Preds are going to do this, they need to make the move now. You got to get all this capital now so you can look back 2-3 years from now and be like, yeah, we were bad, but now we're rebuilding towards the future. Like the Texans.
Right.
The Texans, I mean, had the shortest rebuild of all time. But, I mean, look at them now. They're heavy favorites to win the AFC South. And, I mean, betting odds are like they will be in the AFC Championship.
I mean, would you be okay with that?
It's tough because it feels like the expectations have been raised with this season. But again, it just feels like there's not really an easy way to make this roster better than it was this year. Like, outside of trading UC Saros, but does that make your team better?
No, it doesn't.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Like, can you acquire top-level talent without trading the goalie?
I think there might be a way. That's what I was saying about trading a few prospects down.
That's where Barry Trotz is right now. Either tear it down, like Connor was saying, and I think it's not what Preds fans want because, again, the expectations were raised. But I think the best way for the Preds to make a Stanley Cup final again is to tear it down and start over. Acquire draft capital, acquire young, solid players. I'm not saying trade everybody. I'm not saying Forsberg and Yossi out the door. But I think if you stay with this same core this year and maybe add a few pieces, you're probably maxing out at the second round.
Sometimes you got to take one step back to take 10 steps forward.
And that's what Barry Trotz has been saying. So that would be the way I lean. I think it's better to be bad for 2 years or 3 years and then start to make a run towards the eventual goal of winning a Stanley Cup rather than be above average for the next 5 years. So that's where we stand on the Preds, a week removed from the end of their season. Going to be a lot of things to be sorted out this offseason, and we'll certainly keep up with those throughout the summer. Coming up next, we're going to get back to the Titans. The offensive line has been a point of contention for pretty much the past 2 years. The Titans have made a plan to try and solve that issue this offseason. We're going to kind of take a pulse check on the Titans' offensive line after hearing from Bill Callahan for the first time, seeing J.C. Latham on the field, and much more.
Let's talk about the meat and potatoes, baby.
Yes,
let's go.
Talk about the big boys coming up next. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Tennessee with the pregame at 1:45. First pitch at 2 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. We talked to the voice of the Vandy boys, Andrew Allegretta, earlier in the show. You can listen back to that on the podcast. Fourth company on this Saturday morning, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. We are without our fourth, Nick Kieser, this morning. Guys, let's jump back into some Titans talk here. We talked wide receivers in the first hour. Let's talk about the big boys. Like you said, Frazier, the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, baby.
We saw the Trench King, J.C. Latham, on the field for the first time yesterday. Some funny clips with Bill Callahan yesterday with, is it Bertha, the 380-pound sled they have out there. And I guess they said that it's not about like power or strength. It's about technique. Like if you don't hit it from the right way, it's not going to move. I think Bill Callahan said after he missed it the first time, like, I'm not trying to take all your money at once or something like that. But good to see Latham out there. I mean, at this point in Bill Callahan, we trust, right? If he was his favorite player in the draft, like it was reported, I'm excited to see what he can do with him.
Yeah, and speaking on Bertha, his, I guess, technique drill with that, I guess, pushing the bag, whatever. It's angled down for those that are listening on the radio. It's like a regular, you know, lineman push, you know. It's angled down, so it's all about leverage. If you can get that lower leverage, pad level, basically. You can get that lower leverage, push it back. You got to push it a certain way or else it won't slide. And so I thought that was really cool. It's an inventive. I think it's a Bill Callahan exclusive. That's his little a tool that he likes to use in practice. I was listening to Twitter or something. Somebody posted a video about Brian Callahan talking about it. So I thought that was kind of cool. As for the big boys, meat and potatoes, I think this J.C. Latham, like you're saying, and Bill Callahan we trust, I think it'll work out. A lot of people were saying, oh, is it right tackle, left tackle? Like, nah, it'll be all right. I think, you know, he even talked about it yesterday in his press conference, said played left tackle, no need to worry about it. Obviously played right tackle at Bama, but this is something, if you're smart enough as an offensive lineman, you know your techniques, and you have a core pillar of a coach like Bill Callahan, you should be fine.
And I think Nick Saban has said that they cross-train there. So he practiced at left tackle, too, and he played left tackle in high school at IMG Academy. So there's experience there. It's not like he's moving over for the first time ever.
And it's cold turkey to him. Yeah, no.
And I feel good about it. Even if he is the right tackle, like, I get it. You don't take a right tackle at number 7. Even though the Titans took Jack Conklin at 8. And I know he was an all-pro his first year. So, again, it doesn't really matter. He's going to be, you hope, one of your tackles for the next
10
decade.
Years, yeah.
Did it look to you like he was struggling with that thing? I know it's, 380 pounds, but people on Twitter were jumping to the conclusion, oh, he's struggling, he's weak, he's not going to be. I don't buy that, obviously.
That's what I was saying earlier about leverage, because the way the pad was angled down, it was almost like, if you're looking on the stream, it's almost looking like a C, almost. And so you have to get the leverage, you have to get underneath.
Yeah, low man wins.
Up. Yeah, low man wins, pad level.
Once
so
he got
you get up
going,
like this, then you're going to be able to
once,
knock it
once he got under it and got going, he was moving. I mean, obviously there's no pushback on that thing, but still, he's got movement to him.
If you haven't seen the videos, you can find him on pretty much every Titans beat reporter's account. Teron Davenport, for example, I think tweeted a video of it. The smile on Bill Callahan's face watching him do that was hilarious. the first time he did it, he couldn't handle it, but it's the first time you see a sled like that. I'm sure it's not easy. I definitely wouldn't be able to move that thing an inch. But J.C. Latham, I don't get. Though I saw a Jaguars fan comparing their fourth round tackle, who was pushing just a normal sled, to that one, and I'm like, do you not understand the difference here? One is almost 400 pounds, and you have to actually like get your hips down and press up. So I think J.C. Latham put on Instagram or something. He said, me and Bertha are going to be best friends moving forward. So
that's what I love to hear.
Excited to see that as a rookie minicamp continuing through the weekend. Let's talk about the other tackle spot. I know there are a lot of people who say the Titans don't have a right tackle. One person in particular is coming to mind. but I don't like the hate for Nicholas Petit-Frere. I understand he had a bad year last year.
Right.
And he was not phenomenal as a rookie. He was maybe one of the brighter spots on what was a terrible offensive line in 2022 with all the injuries to Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan and all those. But I think that given a this is his first full offseason where he could be the starting right tackle. He was coming off the draft back in 2022. Last year he had the suspension where they basically had to put him back on third string because they had to make sure whoever was playing right tackle was ready. I think this year, if the Titans say, hey, you are a right tackle, go get it, I think he can be a solid option for them. He was a third-round pick for a reason. Like, let's give the guy a chance to be your right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that. I think it was Brian Callahan when he first got hired on as the Titans' new head coach. I believe it was, maybe it was a sit-down with Jared or somebody he sat down with and asked about, you know, certain offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And somebody asked about Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. And he goes, yeah, PT is, like, not PT, but just, I get listened too much in the afternoon about PT. But, you know, it said, like, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer is, like, a solid, you know, player. You could do something with him. Like, he has intangibles to be good.
Yeah, and that, I mean, he played left tackle at Ohio State where, I mean, his last season there, they were pretty good. They're pretty good every year.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can give up on NPF yet. I'm willing to get – and guess what? If he comes out in preseason in the first few weeks of the regular season and isn't the answer, then you got to find a right tackle next year. But I just think he can be a solid guy. You fix the left side, you hope, with Latham, Skoronski, and now Cushenberry at center.
Right.
Brunskill is a solid right guard option, and Dylan Radins maybe ends up taking that spot from him. Who knows? But if NPF is your right tackle, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world heading into week one.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like beating a dead horse or anything, but yeah, I mentioned earlier about the trust level, percentages. I think, you know, with this gambling thing with Petit-Ferrer last season, got him off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
And so that kind of probably set his confidence back a little bit, down to around, not rock bottom, but down low, a little lower. So with this Callahan thing, I feel like start out at 100. And you can, you know, if you lose trust from there, that's where you go. I don't want to sound like I'm a broken record, but I feel like that's the mindset you kind of have to be going into.
Well, last offseason, he was going in as the right tackle. Then he got the suspension, didn't get to be the first team right tackle in training camp preseason. And then he's expecting, okay, I'll be back week 7. Then they shorten his suspension. And he has to jump right back in earlier than he expected, which is a good thing, obviously. But there's no way for him to be mentally prepared when everything was just thrown out of order. So hopefully with a full offseason, he can be a solid right tackle. And that's not what I'm not asking him to be an all-pro right tackle. The Titans, we've seen maybe the worst combined two seasons of offensive line play in NFL history the last 2 years between Dennis Daly and Andre Dillard at left tackle. If NPF can just be an average right tackle, I think that makes the Titans a lot better.
To me, offensive line is it's one unit. If one guy is out, the whole thing is gone.
Yeah.
So look at last year. Who was the center last year?
Aaron Brewer.
Aaron Brewer. Did Aaron Brewer make Nicholas Petit-Ferrer better?
No.
No. Who is the center this year?
Lloyd Cushenberry.
Will Lloyd Cushenberry make Nicholas Petit-Ferrer better? We don't know. But has he done so in the past with the Broncos? Absolutely. Did he do it at LSU? Absolutely. So the question remains, I mean, I strongly feel the left side is going to be good, especially with, I mean, I think Latham was a solid pick. But obviously the right side is a question. I think Lloyd Cushenberry is going to help out with that side, in my opinion.
An offensive line, you look at the Titans last year, you had nobody at left tackle. Your center wasn't very good. You had pretty much nobody at right tackle because NPF didn't play. Hubbard got hurt. So you had three significant holes on your offensive line last year. And Brunskill, again, I think Brunskill is the definition of an average offensive lineman.
Serviceable lineman.
Like, I'm fine plugging him in there. He's not going to do anything that really blows you out of the water, but he should be solid.
Yeah.
You fix two of those three holes, first-round pick and Lloyd Cushenberry. I think it's hard to fix three or four holes on the offensive line in one offseason with the amount of capital that you have. And there weren't a ton of great tackles on the free agent market out there. That's why the Titans, I think the only one they signed with, or Sadiq Charles might be a guard or a tackle. But
yeah.
It's hard to go and say, I'm going to find four new offensive linemen who are going to be better than the ones I had before in one offseason. I think Rand Carthon and company, they said, hey, we're going to get two. We've got some serviceable options at right guard and right tackle. And guess what? If they're not good, then we can fix those two next offseason. And hopefully by the time 2025 rolls around, you've got five good offensive linemen.
Yeah. I just think in this today's day and time with sports and like fans in general, it's a microwave society when it comes to this. Like, oh,
no patience.
We need to make sure we get this fixed immediately. Oh, there's a leak over there. We're going to fix that right now. And you're just thinking, oh, there's another leak back here. We're going to fix that right now. And you get so preoccupied with fixing these other things. Whereas this back room back here, it's flooded. We haven't been able to fix it. It's going to crash and burn. And then you're just like, well, time to tear it all down and bring something else new in.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are approaching this in the right direction. People just need to understand this is not a one-year fix. It is a multi-year fix.
And think about, at least since I've been a fan, or at least over the last decade, the best offensive line the Titans have built, it's not like all of them came in at the same time. Lawan at left tackle was drafted in 2014. Roger Saffold signed in 2019?
Yeah, 17, I think.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah. Ben Jones was 2015 or 2016. Mm-hmm. Nate Davis was a 2019 draft pick. And Jack Conklin was a 2016 draft pick. So you got all five of those guys in different ways throughout 5 years. And 5 years down the road, it turns into a great collection of offensive linemen. I think that's what the Titans are trying to do here. You get Skoronski, you get Latham, you get Cushenberry. Now you have to deal with Brunskill and maybe NPF on the right side of the line. And if they're good, great. If not, you have free agency in the draft next year to try and replace them.
Yeah, and I don't want to make Titans fans, you know, just get overexcited about things. But you mentioned earlier about Carthon fixing more holes than they've, you know, thought they would with the offensive line. They fix, what, three holes on the offensive line currently?
I mean, I think you feel better about left tackle, left guard, center than you did a year ago.
And I don't want to say that they're ahead of schedule, but I'm going to say it. I think that they might be a little ahead of schedule. The offensive line, you know, fix, that is. It's just putting that out there.
You know what, though? It's like kicker. You know how I know we have a good kicker? Because we don't talk about it.
Yep.
It's the same thing as the offensive line. You know you have a good offensive line when you don't talk about it. It's like Christmas lights. If one is out, the rest look out of whack.
Yep.
So that's the question. Is one Christmas light going to be out, or are you going to have a pretty set?
I think that with the resources they had at their disposal, Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan have done a great job building around Will Levis for year two. They got him established wide receivers. They improved the offensive line, and he's got two good running backs behind him. I'm excited to see what this offense looks like next year. I don't think this team is going to be competing for any Super Bowl championships, but I think this team has a chance to be really competitive if Will Levis is who Titans fans and the organization hopes that he is going to be. Well, that's our Titans talk for the day. Talk some wide receivers, talk some offensive line. When we come back, we're going to talk some soccer, the other football. We're going to talk some Nashville SC.
And the other Tyler Boyd.
The other Tyler Boyd, yes. They've got a game coming up later on this evening out in Charlotte, taking on Charlotte. So, Charlotte FC. So we'll talk about that next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for coverage of the Goodyear 400 at Darlington Raceway. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. The race starts at 2. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Forrest Company here on this Saturday morning. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. We've talked Preds. We've talked Titans. We've talked Vanderbilt. Time to talk some soccer. We haven't really... We've dabbled in NSC throughout our first couple of shows, but I wanted to give Nick Frazier, our Nashville SC guy over here, a chance to talk a little bit about the boys in gold. So playing Charlotte today, got their first win last week against Montreal.
In a while. First
win since, I believe, Charlotte back in March.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while.
Yes.
But looking, seen a lot of wins.
Looking to build on it today. Mm-hmm. A team that little banged up here and there, but certainly we're only 9 months removed from that League's Cup final against Miami and Messi that went to PKs. This is still certainly a talented team.
Yeah, I do think so. You know, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, when they played Montreal. Well, not Montreal, excuse me. 2 weeks ago, my brain's escaped me. I don't know why. But in the press conference, I asked Gary Smith about, you know, is this team still a championship caliber team? And he doubled down and he said, yeah, when this team is healthy, this is a championship caliber team. So, as you know, these players are starting to come back, you know, from injury, and they're starting to see some players step up. And, you know, I will say there has been an absence in the midfield. Just hasn't really been a true, I guess, solid constant. Like, Anibal Godoy has always been in the midfield for them that can really be a constant, a pro's pro that can, you know, dish the ball out left and right. But, you know, one guy I was really looking forward to, and I even talked about this with some media members in the press box last week, and I was just like, you know, Drew Yearwood's looking pretty good. And their 4-1 win, I was like, this dude looks pretty good. He can and the reason why I say this is because two of those goal contributions were because of him. He won the ball in the midfield, turned around and played the ball to Hani. Hani played the ball to Sam, the other DP, so DP to DP there. And, ended up scored a hat trick all the way through. But, you know, two of those goals went from Hani to Sam into the middle of the box. And I'm just like, wow, like, that's kind of what you want from a team like Nashville, where you have, if your name has DP next to it, you need to be scoring goals on a consistent basis. And, you know, I think with that hat trick, it kind of gives more momentum for Sam Surridge and Hani Mukhtar, guys like that, that can give you, I guess, more goal opportunities on net. So if Nashville SC's midfield can kind of hunker down today against Charlotte, I would not be surprised to see them win. I know whenever we do picks at the end of the show, I've been kind of down on Nashville SC because I don't know what this team is. Like, they've just been so inconsistent. I don't want to say they were bad, but they've just had a bunch of injuries in the past. And, like, even with those injuries, they should have still been able to get wins or draws because, like, they had three or four games where they were up 2-0 at halftime or 2-1 at halftime, and they end up either ending in a draw or losing the game. And that's dropping points, and that's not good. I mean, they're currently, I believe, like 11th in their part of the standings, which is not great. But, I mean, you know, you start collecting wins and go on maybe a 3-4-game win streak. You're adding up, you know, 3 points every time you do that. You can get you right back into a playoff spot.
Yeah, and you look back through their schedule, not a lot of wins over this calendar year so far. Again, we mentioned they beat Montreal, beat Charlotte back in March. But outside of that, not much to point out there for Nashville. They hadn't scored more than 2 goals since February until that win last week against Montreal. So hoping they can build on that against Charlotte. You mentioned the picks. We're going to get to this next segment, but one person did pick Nashville SC.
I wonder who that might be.
Yeah, well, we'll figure that out. Somebody had a nice week in picks last week. Even though
the guy across the table?
We have absolutely no, like, scoreboard for these picks or anything like that, but I went to bed on Saturday night feeling great about myself after those picks.
Yeah.
Head of the table over here. You know what? You know what you should do? Put your finger to the sky and say, there you go.
Okay. I will say end on a high note here with Nashville SC. If they do end up winning today or this evening, I would not be surprised to say they go on about maybe a 3-4-game win streak after this.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How warm do you think Gary Smith's seat is right now?
Not warm.
Not warm?
No.
Not at all?
Initially, people, you know, there's chatter outside and whatnot, outside this building or wherever people there is, maybe fans that might think that. No, I don't think so. I think if he turns this bad boy around, bad boy meaning the team, there's no reason to be having that conversation.
I agree with you. I was just wondering.
Initially, I thought so. Because just the way the things were headed, they were headed south quite quickly. But no, if they keep winning, I think this is going to be perfectly fine.
Nashville has back-to-back home games coming up next week. Again, in Charlotte tonight, but then Wednesday taking on Toronto. That is a 7:30 p.m. kick over at Geodis Park. And then a week from today, Atlanta comes to town. So a little rivalry in the south over there at Geodis.
Yeah, they do like a little rivalry belt thing. It's kind of like a wrestling belt. I keep forgetting what the name of it is. I probably should know this. But, you know, it's between Nashville, Atlanta. I believe Charlotte's in it as well. So this could be a big game for that as well. So whoever gets to keep the belt, I guess, out of those three. But, yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Pretty neat.
Excited to see what Nashville SC can do. Again, getting that win, maybe getting the monkey off their back a little bit, yeah. And now they can get back to what they do and hopefully get a big win tonight against Charlotte. Again, that's a 6:30 kick.
Walker Zimmerman is back as well. He played last game, so like with having an addition of that as well, that's pretty good to have. So if you have a solid core in the back, and then obviously if you know Drew Yearwood keeps doing what he does, I mean, this team has the intangibles to be really, really good. It's just about applying it on the field. So obviously, Randall Leal is still out. That'll be a lengthy. I asked Gary about that 2 weeks ago as well. So that'll be a lengthy injury. So we'll see how that all plays out. But as for tonight, I'll give my prediction at the end of the show for that game. But yeah, just tease.
Well, Nick Frazier, where can people follow you? I know they've heard our promo throughout the show today, but Nick's got great coverage of Nashville SC all weekend long.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at NickFrazier23, as all the promos say. That's kind of basically where I'm at. Twitter's kind of the only thing I really kind of use. I have other social medias, but I don't really check those out. But yeah, Twitter, check it out, NickFrazier23.
Well, Nashville SC, again, in action tonight in Charlotte, then two home games coming up in the next week. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Club Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. One more segment here on this show on this Saturday morning. We will make our weekend picks here on Force Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Wrapping up the show here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you this morning. No Nick Keezer. He will be back next week. We're going to make our picks for the weekend. I've teased at it. Last week, you know, the first 2 weeks, it felt like all of us were kind of lumped together. Maybe somebody got two right. Everybody else got one right. This past week, we picked the Kentucky Derby. We picked the Nashville SC game against Montreal, and then the Boston Bruins against the Toronto Maple Leafs, Game 7. I was a lone wolf on both Boston and Nashville SC. Both those teams won, and Mystic Dan takes home the Kentucky Derby.
That was impressive, by the way.
I literally just liked the name. I had no idea about anything. Apparently, Will Levis knows the owner of Mystic Dan.
Really?
Will Levis knows everyone. He's the guy.
Well, I saw a picture of him, and I guess it was the owner of the trainer or something, and Will had, like, a fan of money or something like that. So Will Levis got it right, too. He picked Mystic Dan.
It's because he owns that city. He owns Louisville.
It did look like he had a pretty fun weekend in Louisville. He had, like, the Netflix show. I'm blanking on
Peaky
it.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, he had the Peaky Blinders look going on.
Love me some of that.
So
great show. By
that's
the
such
way.
A Nick Frazier show. I can just see watching it. I don't know why.
There's a new show on Netflix. Side note: it's called I think like three, not three body parts. It's called,
yeah.
No, I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's the three body problem or something.
Yeah,
like
three
that.
Body problem. I just started that yesterday. I'm intrigued to see how the rest of that goes.
Apparently, that's from like the directors of Game of Thrones. I think.
Okay.
So
there's a reason why
I have not started it yet, but looks interesting.
Hey, eight. Yes, try it.
Anyway, just wanted to take my little victory lap there. I went 3-0. Everyone else went 0-3. So I don't think we're keeping track of any of these, but if we are, I just took a pretty big leap in the standings there.
That's that man's job.
That
right
should
there.
Be Connor's job, but I don't know if we're keeping track of any of this.
He'll go back. He'll find it all.
I'll search the
it's
archives.
All on record. It's all
we'll
on record.
We'll figure it out. Before we get into our picks, let's revisit our question of the day. Our question of the day to all of you, and if you want to check in with 615-737-1025, text or call, was the college football video game is coming out this summer. What team do you want to start with your dynasty? And again, this is not a question of what your favorite college football team is. Maybe for Connor, that's the question, because he said Kentucky.
Hey, now.
But I always love the idea of just starting as like a coordinator at a smaller school. Then maybe you get a coordinator at a Power 5 school, then head coach in the group of five, and you work your way up. I know back in 2014, well, it wasn't 2014. It was like 2020 when I was playing 2014. I took Memphis to a national championship. So any Memphis fans there. And then I went back home to Virginia Tech, got the Hokies a championship. I believe I'm now the head coach at Tennessee. I haven't played it in a while.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I wanted a new challenge. But, yeah, where do you want to start is the question. I know you had four options for yourself.
I was going to say, I have my coin here.
You want to decide?
Decision day.
So I had Kent State, App State, SMU, and South Carolina. The first time we go with is Kent State and App State. So I'm picking heads. Currently it says tails. All right, let's see here what we have. Heads for App State, by the way.
Okay. So App State moves to the championship.
App State's there. Now we go SMU, South Carolina. SMU is heads. South Carolina is tails. We flip. What we got?
This is great radio.
Heads. So that's SMU. Yes, Pony Express. Wow. Now we're at, what, App State and SMU?
SMU, App State.
Should I use the coin or should I just pick it?
Do you have a preference?
I do have a preference.
Then pick it.
SMU is where I will be taking my head coach. Yes. So back in the 2014 edition, I was with the Pony Express for about six seasons. Five out of the 6 years, went to national championship. Then moved on to South Carolina. Then moved back on to, USC. And so I was bebopping on to different.
The coaching carousel, there's no loyalty here.
My favorite thing about NCAA games is that when you take on a team, it kind of becomes a part of you. Kind of embracing the fandom. Like, one of my buddies, he's a huge Vols fan, but he took over Georgia State. and he took him to the national championship. And now he had, a part of him pulls for Georgia State in real life. Just because of that. Which is, I just think that's funny.
My buddy Alex, I'll make this kind of brief. My buddy Alex loves college football video games. And so he would come over to my place when we were in high school in between 2 days and stuff for football. And we'd kind of grind out this, dynasty mode. And so, he would come over sometimes just unannounced, hey, we're going to play the dynasty today. I'm like, oh, we're going to do that? Okay, sure. And so it became a annual thing for us. So I feel like this big release is going to be awesome. We're going to do a giant online dynasty, which is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I will say, when it came down to dynasties and picking teams, it was always a big to-do of, the recruiting class. And so I would always follow these guys that make these rosters, the true recruiting classes, 24-7,
yeah,
stuff like that. I would go download them on, a USB stick and then plug it into my old Xbox. And so I'd actually have realistic draft.
That's awesome.
We have cloud sharing, obviously.
Yeah.
So you can download that. But for me, I'll download the first two or three recruiting classes, but then I want the randos. I want John Smith, five-star wide receiver out of Florida.
Yeah.
Carry my program.
No, I did. I love the random names that got made up. And I probably won't even use one recruiting class. I will stick with the guys who are in there with NIL right now, and then I will move on to the John Smiths of the world. You went decision day, so you're taking the ponies to the ACC.
I am.
Gonna have some problems with that media rights deal. You're not going to be able to get any of that revenue sharing.
It's all good.
If they're making this game realistic, that'd be hilarious if SMU was
boosters
just
up
behind the eight ball.
I'm all about it. Give me all the smoke.
Do you think Michigan will have a Connor Stallions mode? You click ask Madden, it just says ask Connor, and it just reveals the play of the team.
That would be kind of funny.
That would be funny. You made your decision, Nick. I'm going to make my decision, too, and I'm actually going to call an audible here. I said James Madison maybe earlier, go to the Fun Belt, but I want to play some Tuesday night football. I'm going to the Mac.
Action, baby.
The Maction.
Maction.
And I'm going to our friend's old home, Corey Davis. Row that boat. Western Michigan.
Whoa.
I'm going to the Broncos. That's going to be where I start. I'll be the offensive coordinator at Western Michigan. We are running exclusively the triple option.
Well, I wish I could give you a fun decision, but I'll stick with my boys.
You're Wildcats till you die.
I will still ride as an offensive coordinator though, and just work my way up.
Gotcha.
Maybe I come back as a head. Maybe Mark Stoops gets fired or something. I take the job. We'll see. But that's not saying I'm not eventually going to take the Akrons of the world or Arizona State or something.
Yeah.
Not Arizona, Arkansas State. All the way
Wolves.
There. The Red Wolves
take over for Butch.
Butch. Well, I'm not going to cry on the sideline when I'm getting beaten 70. So.
Yeah.
What made you think Western Michigan? What made you pick
I don't know. It's just the MAC, I feel like they've got like the gray field, don't they? Or no, no, that's Eastern Michigan.
Eastern Michigan.
Maybe I'm going to go Eastern Michigan.
The Chippewas, you can go Chippewas.
Ooh,
yeah. Central Michigan.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot. We've got 2 months to make this decision. I announced it right there, but this will probably change 8 times before the game comes out. I believe July 19th is when they said.
That's what the portal's for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The coaching carousel.
Just don't enter with a do not contact tag.
There's no pen to paper yet.
No pen to paper yet. But we do get the reveal of covers, gameplay, everything next week. So I'm sure we will talk about that coming up next Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get out of here, let's make our picks. We got to go moderately quickly here. We still got some time. Let's start with the Vandy boys taking on Tennessee. We talked to Andrew Allegretta earlier. He said that this team needs to get off to a hot start if they want to even up this series. Carter Holton on the mound. Drew Beam for Tennessee. Nick Frazier, who you got over at Hawkins Field?
I will be taking the Tennessee Vols to win today, and I'm going with the series sweep as well.
Wow.
Just you can't go wrong with the Vols right now. They're just a hot team.
Number one in the country
for
a reason.
So I hate to take the easy pick, but I'm going to take the Vols.
Connor?
I want you to look at me, and I want you to see the disgust in my face as I make this pick. But I'm going to go Vols as well. I'm not entirely sold on a series sweep. I think Vanderbilt might sneak a little Sunday win in on something. But Tennessee's offense is just hot right now. You can't stop them. Christian Moore is just leadoff homer yesterday. You can't stop him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Vols as well.
It's 8 straight now for Tennessee against Vanderbilt. Dang back, I guess that's 3 years now. But I'm going with Vanderbilt.
Whew.
It ends today.
A little WHMR over here.
wearing my Vanderbilt women's basketball shirt.
Yeah.
Carter Holton shoves, goes 7 innings, strikes out 11. Vanderbilt gets the win. Lone wolfing went well for me last week. We're doing it again. Okay. Vandy forces the rubber match tomorrow over at Hawkins Field.
I love it. I love every bit of this, Jake.
The homer is coming out in me here. Vandy's going to get the win. I picked against them our first show when they were playing Florida, I believe.
Yeah.
And they won. So we're going with Vandy today. Game 2, Celtics-Cavs. Game 3 is coming up later today. That's actually going to be on our station here on 102.5. I believe pregame starts at 7. I'll be in here, so we'll make sure it's on the air for you.
Blow up the phone lines for Jake. He'll be happy to talk to you.
I'll actually be over doing sounds, but Nick Frazier, who you got? Celtics-Cavs, series tied 1-1.
I'll take the Cavs. I will take
the
Cavs.
At home.
I know that sounds crazy, but Darius Garland, hometown kid.
Yeah, Vandy boy.
Get it done with Spidey Mitchell. So, yeah, let's go with that. Donovan Mitchell.
Connor?
I'll flip it. I'm going to go Celtics. You don't embarrass a team like that at home and not expect consequences. I truly believe the Celtics are the best team in the league right now. I know Jason Tatum has hit kind of a little bit of a cold streak as of late, but he's due. He's coming out. And, of course, the legend, the bald man, Derek White. he's just an underdog. When I say Derek White, you don't know who I'm talking about. So I'll take the Celtics today.
I will go Celtics as well. I think they'll bounce back after a tough game too, take that series lead. And we'll wrap up with our wild cards here. Nick Frazier, who you taking?
I'll take the Nashville SC game.
There you go.
I think Nashville is going to win 3-1 today after their performance last week. I say Sam Surridge and Hany Mukhtar both get a goal. Don't know who the third one's from, but 3-1 away.
Love it. Connor?
Give me the Cats in Gainesville today. They came away with a 12-11 win. I know you're laughing.
I thought you were taking the Nashville Cats.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
Scratch them Cats. No, I'm taking the Kentucky Wildcats baseball in Gainesville against Florida today. They came away with a 12-11 win in 10 yesterday.
Okay.
The most Kentucky baseball score of all time. But I like them to win a little bit easier today. I'll take them 9-5. Something I think it'll be relatively high scoring just because neither team has great pitching. But
okay. Yeah,
I'll take the Cats today, not the Nashville Cats.
I have found out what they're saying is it's not Scratch'em Cats, it's Claws Out.
Claws Out.
We were
the
close.
Nashville Cats. They play tomorrow at 2:30, somewhere around there. I will wrap up. I am going to take my Detroit Tigers today, but I'll be a little specific here. I think Tarek Skubal throws 7 shutout innings, and I think Spencer Torkelson hits his first home run of the season today and finally figures it out at the plate.
How about
Detroit
that
Tigers take down the Houston Astros and even up that series. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been another edition of Four's Company here on this Saturday morning. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, I'm Jake Lyman. We'll be back next week here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.